Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do. Magical Engineer Frank and I got a great show. We are going to be talking about these new developments that are percolating as we speak with the euthanasia laws. We've kind of touched on the topic once or twice before, but we got new information. We want to go over that. Also, we didn't get to our kidney constipation issues last time. Maybe we'll squeak them in this time, and we have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm hitting the knees, and I'm seeking Lord's face. Hope you are too. And today's devotional is from 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain when it's in the Lord. And then Matthew 10 says, "And all you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." Amen to that. Seek the Lord's face, mind, time, it grows short, because that is the way. Without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first up in the quacker, hey, if you want to have children and prevent the child from having allergies, there's some new research from South Australian Health and Medical Research Institute. They say children whose mothers took fish oil during pregnancy have less of a risk of having some types of allergies, according to their study. They said it was the largest study in the world that observed the effects of omega-3 fatty acids, which are commonly found in oily fish, and they were related to the risk of allergies in children. So they followed up on children who were born to mothers who took fish oil supplements containing DHA and those who did not for about 6 years. And the researchers found that by the age of one, children of the mothers who consumed the large amount of fish oils during pregnancy had less allergies to eggs, had less likely to develop eczema than the children of mothers who didn't take the supplement. So there you go. Moving along in the quack report, here are some foods that you should might consider if you want anti-inflammatory action in your diet. Yeah, your diet has, you have a lot of power in your using foods in your diet. So if you got a lot of inflammation, if you're kind of a gouty person, have a lot of arthritis and things like that, they recommend turmeric. Researchers said that turmeric, they observed that that and cumin are going to be strong anti-inflammatory types of spices. Also, dark leafy green vegetables, kale, spinach, collard greens all have natural antioxidants that prevent a lot of inflammation. Also, nuts. Studies show that if you eat nuts, they have reduced markers of for inflammation in them, as well as apples. The apples have the pectin, antioxidants, polyphenols, cut down on that arthritic action and inflammation. Also, if you're looking at herbs, willow bark and meadow sweet, so check that out when you can. Last but not least in the quack report, they say there's dangers with the artificial intelligence. Soon, they think, we won't know the difference between who's real and who's fake. Apparently, with artificial intelligence, all this technology, they can create or manipulate photos, videos. They can change the likeness of people and look so real. They can automatically alter someone's face to make them look younger or older, and they can even swap genders and, you know, make them look like they were a male or female. So yeah, we're in the age of deception for sure, so be aware of that. Use wisdom, discernment, stay close to the Lord. And that wraps the quack report. All right. Thanks, Frank. We're going to be talking about the new echinacea laws. They're up for review, you know. Yep. 007 isn't the only one with a license to kill anymore. Oh, I'm going to probably say things that may shock you, so may even be a little bit on the macabre side, but I warned you. All right. So there has been a significant shift, really, in the attitude regarding euthanasia. So this is a global development. Parts of Europe have already started to change their policies and laws regarding ending a person's life. And we are now seeing hospitals and lawmakers in Canada and the United States having discussions to change the strict existing laws on euthanasia. So what is fueling this urgency to change these laws governing, or, you know, I guess assisted suicide is another way of putting it, but usually euthanasia everybody is familiar with. Well, I touched on this topic back in 2014 and 16. The National Organ Transplantation Act is about 30 years old, and it has some restrictive terms in there when it comes to organ donation and transplantation. So these are guiding laws to protect people and also patients from being abused. So the discussions by policymakers is such that they want to lift the restrictions and reshape the ethics that have been governing euthanasia and organ transplants. So we're going to check this out. We're going to see what's going on here, why everyone should be concerned. Well, let's look at quickly the organ transplant field. You know, human organ transplants started in 1954, and the strict laws that govern it were in place by the 1970s. And this area of scientific medicine is feeling the pinch with a drop in organ transplants, because organ transplant surgeons and organ procurement agencies, they're kind of suffering because they don't have enough organ donors. And the list of patients waiting for organs is growing beyond a five-year wait. So the pressure's on to do something about it. And science also faces the option, they're racing to create artificial organs as an option. So the countries of Singapore and Australia now allow limited payments to live donors of organs. So, you know, if you're healthy and alive and you want to sell a kidney, they're going to let you. Well, let's look at the health insurance companies and real quick, because the health insurance industry may also benefit if the laws are changed and medicine can euthanize patients in order to harvest their organs. So here's an example. A kidney transplant may cost about $263,000. It can extend the life of the patient for about 20 years compared to that person staying on kidney dialysis for just 4 or 5 years. And it would top out at $350,000. So it's more expensive to take the dialysis treatment. So we're talking about big money is what we're talking about here. According to the National Foundation for Transplants, the cost of transplants vary per patient and the type of transplant that's being done, and also what insurance may pay. So here's a quick list. It's the average ballpark figure of the organ transplants in the United States. This is from their cost estimate between 2011 and 2014. If you needed bone marrow, you're looking at $360,000 to $800,000. If you need a cornea transplant, it's $25,000. If you need a heart transplant, it works out to be about $1 million. If you need intestines, it's $1.2 million. If you need a kidney, $263,000. If you need a liver, $577,000. If you need some lungs, one lung, $550,000. If you're getting a pair of lungs, you're looking at $800,000. Pancreas, $290,000. And if you're getting a multi-organ transplant, a minimum of $1.7 million. So additional money, though, goes to the drug companies, because they have, you know, for the organ transplant patients, they have these ongoing medicines they have to be on for the rest of their life. So right out of surgery, they're on a drug that costs $3,000. And then for immune suppressive drugs, there's a couple of them. There's Prograf, Miaforic, prednisone, Celcept. These medications, they can cost over $1,000 per prescription. So you're probably looking at six figures in some cases. Well, let's look real quick at the current law. The current laws that are in place prohibit patient preference or the black market and protecting people from becoming victims of the industry of organ transplant. And it stands to make a lot of money on organ transplants, so that's why we have these laws. So organ harvesting also has strict protocols under the law where a patient or a legal representative has to consent in writing to an organ donation. Now, Congress amended the National Organ Transplantation Act in 1984, making it a crime if a hospital or anyone were to harvest human organs for the purpose of financial gain outside the laws, and also prohibiting anyone paying cash for organs. Okay, so why would the medical system want to change the laws on organ transplants? Well, one reason is organ donors, after they die, could have a family member that, you know, objects, and they can legally block the harvesting of the organs. So they want to definitely get rid of that. And that legal consent thing, they want to get rid of that. In the United States, it's kind of been established that hospitals must have informed consent from the patient, the donor, or their family before they harvest organs for transplantation. So informed consent is really a legal declaration of the donor's wishes. And however, there is this push to change that, to change it to what they want to call implied consent. And some countries have already switched over to implied consent. Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Chile, Denmark, Switzerland, they all switched over to implied consent. And it's really a plan to narrow the gap between supply and demand of human organs, you know, help the industry, the organ transplant industry is what it's doing. So in the countries with implied consent, it means that after a person dies, their organs can be harvested, okay? Well, let me just touch base real quick on the report I did in 2016, because the United States Health and Human Services, along with the U.S. Attorney General, have been encouraged to look into ways that they can circumvent the National Organ Transplantation Act and make way for a free marketplace to sell human organs. There's a lot of money to be made in the trafficking of human organs, and there are even though there's more patients that are currently waiting for transplants, there's a lot of money to be made. So sick patients, you know, if you needed a transplant, if you needed an organ, if you were sick, you would mortgage your home. You would sell everything you had for this second chance at life. So with diabetes running rampant in the United States, the kidney transplant, that organ is the most in demand. Now, if authorities are successful in establishing a legal free market for human organs, we could see healthy people willing to sell a kidney. So the medical expense associated with the organ is kind of the prep work, the harvesting, and then the transplant itself. Now, according to transplantliving.org, the cost of a kidney transplant is about $262,900. So if laws were changed to allow healthy people to sell organs, the cost could kind of get out of hand. Therefore, new strategies are in development that would give physicians and lawyers that were in charge of, let's say, a patient's estate to donate organs and skipping the payment for the organ issue entirely. And this concept seems to be well received when it involves people with chronic illnesses, mental illness, and the elderly. And we're delving into this area where society is calculating a person's worth with regards to how they serve society. What are they contributing to society? So if it's determined that your care would be too expensive, they're pushing for the option to end your life and to sell your organs. Oh, I know. Is your mouth dropping open yet? I know. It's just, you think I'm making this up? I'm not making this up. I would never. Well, let's look at some of the fallout, because changing these euthanasia and organ donation laws can have ripple effects in other areas. Let's say, for instance, will life insurance pay if medicine euthanizes people that have life insurance policies? Okay, so they didn't die a natural death, did they? You know, they may consider it suicide, not pay, right? Also, will estate attorneys influence family members or even exercise power to euthanize people to prevent the estate from being drained of funds to pay for medical care? This is where my brain goes when they start being ambiguous about things. I start looking at that. Now, this is an alleged letter that was sent to some influential people, U.S. Attorney General and the Health and Human Services Secretary, in which I'll surmise it. The letter was saying, we call for a swift initiation of evidence-based research on ways to offer benefits to organ donors in order to expand the availability of transplants. In other words, is there a way we can pay them for their organs so we can have organs to transplant and make the six figures and money we need? Well, then I found this thing by the Massachusetts Medical Society. The medical heavyweights at the Massachusetts Medical Society, they're kind of bent on rescinding the restrictions of the euthanasia laws. So in September 2018, They held this meeting, and they voted regarding euthanasia for end-of-life care. Now, I want you to keep in mind, this is just their policy. It's not legislative law. But this is really the first step that they can use to pressure politicians to make changes to the current laws. Now, Vermont's Medical Society has also taken this stance, and Vermont passed what is called the Death with Dignity Bill in 2013 to allow physicians to prescribe the terminally ill a lethal dose of drugs to end their life. California, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, and Washington, D.C. also have similar laws, and Montana allows euthanasia via their state Supreme Court. Let me read you this quote by the Massachusetts Medical Society. They said, the society has rescinded its long-held opposition to doctor-assisted suicide and adopts a neutral engagement position. This is done to more effectively engage with lawmakers in the legislature to debate the legality of euthanasia in the state. End of quote. See what I mean? How they want to work that? So we're really witnessing a major shift to drop the formal ethical positions on euthanasia, and this push is sponsored, I hate to say it, I'm just going to say it, by greed. Oh, I know, you're probably saying, hey, Miss Wendy, you're missing the point where, you know, some people need organs, you know, to live on. Oh, I understand that, but, you know, you can't just take organs from people if they don't want to donate them to give them to people with sick organs to replace them. You just don't do that. That's sort of like, you know, God expects you to have, you know, compassion and to volunteer. You know, he expects you to volunteer to tithe. He doesn't want to take your money from you forcefully or under law. He wants you to, you know, he wants you to give it willingly. So this is the same kind of premise where, you know, but if people don't want to give, they shouldn't be, you know, made to give. And what I'm going to get into next is kind of pushing those limits a bit. Now, the medical insurance companies and other industries that stand to profit can actually utilize lobbyists to change a lot of these laws on euthanasia and even organ transplants. So this is where, you know, getting the policy in place in certain societies that are attached to medicine and science is the first kind of step. But what you're also seeing is what I would call a death culture, because we find that modern society enacts laws that prevent the beginning of life, called abortion, and now they're creating legal ways to cut short life, called euthanasia. Now, in 2016, Medscape reported that 57% of the U.S. medical physicians think changing the restrictions on euthanasia is a good thing. And in 2015, a Gallup poll survey of the general public showed that the public was supportive also by about 68%. Now, an interesting quirk is that the American College of Physicians is opposed to medically assisted euthanasia. And how long they're going to take that stand is anybody's guess. Due to the American Medical Association, they ordered its judicial counsel and ethical affairs to look into making changes to the policy and to the laws with their physicians. So according to the New England Journal of Medicine, the rate of euthanasia in the United States from 2007 to 2013 went from 1.9% to 4.6%. So the percentage of the granted request was 76.8%. Now, in October 2017, Cambridge University analyzed the cost of healthcare compared to euthanizing and found that for the critically ill patients, it costs a fortune with very little benefit in return, citing the cost of anywhere from a little over $82,000 to almost $190,000 for each additional year that critically ill patient were to live. So what they're saying is you're too expensive. We're just going to give you this injection. I know, this is kind of chilling talk, isn't it? I mean, in September, the September 2018 article in the New England Journal of Medicine was, they had this discussion going on about harvesting organs from euthanized patients, suggesting that harvesting may be best prior to death. Yeah, you heard that. Let me read you this quote, which will give you goosebumps. This is by Professors Ian Ball, Robert Sibal, Robert Tong, New England Medical Journal. This is what they said. And then we got to probably go to a break after this. It says, there is an option of donating as many organs as possible and in the best condition possible. So the rules of harvesting after death could interfere with the ability of obtaining organ procurement. In such cases, it may be preferable to procure the organs in the same way they're procured from brain-dead patients, using just a little general anesthesia for patient comfort. Did you know that, Frank? That if you're brain-dead, they're going to take your organs. You're not even dead yet. Your heart's still beating. Well, the quote goes on to say, doing so would require an amendment to the criminal code, making organ donation an accepted cause of death. Did you get that, Frank? I hope my listeners heard that. So they want to change the laws. They want to get rid of the criminal threat that they can just take your organs and then you die, not you die and then take your organ. Is this clear? Am I making myself clear out there? So doctors are promoting organ donation via euthanasia, and this is where society is now, creating multiple ways of killing people and making it absolutely legal. Do we really want to give doctors and other people in society permits to kill people? When such permits bring financial gains, well, then society is going to be opening this door, promoting a death culture the world has really never seen. Ah. Yeah, Frank's right. Yeah, in a nutshell, they want to make it legal to kill you and steal your organs and make a bunch of money. Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's a quote from the same article in the New England Journal of Medicine that said, the conventional doctrine that rests on the distinction between killing and letting die, that itself has no moral importance and are invalid, end of quote. Holy smoke. This is, people think like this. Also, Dr. Ryan Anderson, he's with the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition. He says this, physician-assisted suicide endangers the weak, corrupts medicine, and compromises the family, and violates human dignity and equality. Medicine is permitting tools for healing to be used as techniques for killing. Euthanasia will most threaten the weak and marginalized. So what Dr. Anderson is suggesting is that physician-assisted suicide, or your euthanasia, is at risk of becoming a non-voluntary-like option. It's happening in the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, the euthanasia has kind of taken a dark turn, and it's victimized people, non-voluntary patients like children, those with dementia or the mentally ill, the elderly, and others. So the violation of their so-called safeguards has led them to create a death culture, legalizing euthanasia and abortion. Really, it's become the ultimate betrayal in human dignity and God's laws. And there's a price for all this. And we got a little bit more on the other side of this, and then we're going to jump into a new topic. So we got to take a break. Be right back.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663 or on the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Go green. Herb Talk Live, green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Here on Herb Talk, and we're looking at the new youth with that, and we see they tend to have a, you know, association with the organ transplant industry. You know, kind of when I look at this and I see this developing, and of course, you know, it's almost unbelievable that, you know, this would be going on, but I look at it as like kind of like modern grave robbers, okay? Because in our world of modern science, it's kind of become even more personal with the coming changes to the care, to the euthanasia and the organ donation. You know, I hate to say it, but there's a real risk these days to being an organ donor and indicating such on your driver's license. There's like a big target on you. Now, working in hospitals, I actually knew of young patients that came in with head trauma. So if you come in and you're young and healthy, but you got a head trauma, they got the organ transplant folks on speed dial. I'm also aware that, you know, in instances like that, Hospital employees will separate, because they need to get at this point still written authorization for organ harvesting. They would approach parents separately, hoping one would sign, because all they need is one signature. Now, it's obvious that medicine with regards to organ harvesting is kind of working in the direction of, you know, no informed consent, no written authorizations, and perhaps even not even the pronouncement of death before taking someone's organs. Now, once blood flow and oxygen cease, the tissue starts to degrade. Therefore, anesthesia may be administered before you actually die so they can take the organs and keep them as in a fresh, fresh state. Now, a decade ago, it would not have been thought I would never have thought I'd be talking or writing about this very serious problem. And my question is, there really any level scientific medicine won't stoop to? It kind of reminds me of the Elizabethan times when, you know, science needed fresh corpses so they can learn their anatomy, and there were not enough bodies donated to science. So what they did is they just went out at night and dug up newly deceased people and took them, just took the bodies. It would totally upset the families, of course, but it's all for science, right? Whether you like it or not. So, you know, it's very dangerous. I mean, what if, you know, their algorithm says that your life worth to society is not worth keeping you alive, but we can harvest your organs and give it to people with a higher life work purpose, and they can go on and serve society. So that's how they're looking at it. That's how they're looking at it. So it's really essential. Hey, we got to guard ourselves against these subtle risks that modern medicine can put at us, you know. And if you're in the hospital, I recommend you always have a family member with you, and should get out of there as soon as possible. Now, healthcare is really a business, and it has really become greedy. It's a greedy entity, and it has all these tentacles now reaching into these dark areas. We're promised by God that His medicinal herbs offer some great healing, and we're encouraged to utilize them. So using medicinal herbs actually gives you options and gives you power. So if you're needing, you know, help removing impurities, you know, getting rid of toxins from the body, getting off the lifelong drugs, strengthening the immune system or your metabolism, hey, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They can show you what they would do if they were you. The number is 866-229-3663. That's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. That's 866-229-3663. You visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com, that's where your healthcare options just became endless. And they do have a free product catalog, so you can get one of those mailed to you, or you can download it, whichever you prefer if you're on the computer. But they will mail you a hard copy if you'd like. And if you do have an email, they do have an email delivered free newsletter. So you can learn about natural healing stuff in there. And it's free. So it goes out every week, and you can share it with family and friends and, you know, pass on the power. You just sign up at thepowerherbs.com, and it's under books and newsletters. Just click books and newsletters, and you can sign up for free. All right, so we got a lot of things to talk about here. I'm promised to talk about some kidney health and some constipation. Maybe next time we'll fit in some headache topics and some depression and things like that to help us all out. But, you know, science doesn't know everything. And some itty-bitty bitter herbs, how could they do anything, is science perspective. I want to remind everybody, science actually used herbs to make drugs out of. So if they weren't so great, why'd they use them? Your bitter compounds in your medicinal herbs actually remove toxins, remove waste. They also can move blood through the body, get rid of mucus and things like that. For instance, echinacea root, people like to use that for immune system to get over colds. Garlic is another one. It's a very much a broad spectrum kind of herb, almost like an antibiotic action, but without the superbug issue. actually, garlic has been known, science has actually written up papers, research papers, that it gets rid of staph infections. Now, there's a lot also to be said for things like burdock root. There's a handful of other herbs like burdock that purify your blood. You know, if you've got sick blood or blood that's full of impurities, you're not going to have good kidney function. You're not going to have wounds that heal. Now, a lot of trace nutrients and some healthy fat, herbs can help you with that. And when you get some trace nutrients and healthy fats, you can deal with things like hypertension and diabetes. If you, your foods and your medicinal herbs change your DNA within 6 days. So that's how powerful nutrition is. You make changes to your genealogy, your metabolism, your chemistry. 38 million Americans, that's over 20% of the population, have metabolic disorders like high blood pressure, diabetes, and things like that. That's a large segment that shouldn't be there. 72% of the German population uses herbs all the time to improve their health. They are sold on herbal medicines. Well, if you have some renal problems, which, you know, your kidneys aren't working right, a segment of the American population over the age of 20 have been diagnosed with kidney failure, renal problems. We're looking at, in the early 20s, we're looking at about 10% of the population. So renal problems cost about $32 million a year in medical bills. And about 75,000 people are on waiting lists for kidney transplants. So these renal problems aren't going to go away, because not only are people eating way too much sugar and their organs are shutting down, not filtering the blood properly, and they're getting peripheral neuropathy and all kinds of things, but also a lot of diabetes I've heard from medical professionals is being caused by vaccines. So the vaccines are causing a lot of metabolic diseases, so they can have lifelong patients. Medicine is kind of, you know, padding the purse. So urinary tract infections are also up, as well as kidney stones, gallbladder stones. We just have organs that are congested with waste material and not functioning well. Prostates. Oh, the calls I get about prostates. I mean, I'm not complaining you're calling me, but I'm just saying it's a lot of calls from people looking for solutions to things because they're not crazy about the options medicine's given them. So prostate cancer is also on the rise, about 100,000 every year. So the main function, though, of your kidneys is to remove waste product and excess water from your blood. Okay, so your kidneys have these really fine filters on them. They're so delicate, and they can get weighed down with particulates and waste material, and then all of a sudden you get kidney stones and stuff like that. So if you ever open your Bible from time to time, hopefully every day you're in there, but the Bible is usually printed on what we call like tissue paper. It's very fine. That's kind of the consistency of the filters of your kidneys. They're very, very delicate. So you got to take care of them. And there's a way to do that. People just haven't been taught. You know, they didn't know, right? We learn stuff all the time. I mean, my thing's herbs, right? But my mechanic, his thing's, you know, fixing cars and trucks. What did I learn the other day, Frank? I learned you got to keep more than a quarter tank of gas in your Suburban or you'll burn up your fuel pump. So we learn things every day, taking care of the situation. So taking care of our kidneys is kind of the same thing. Everything's got maintenance to it, and we should not be slack about it, because, you know, these problems can morph into bigger problems. But basically, when we have kidney problems, we could have anemia. We can get the blood pressure disorders and diabetes. We can get too acidic, and the body fluids are too acid. Cholesterol problems where we get a lot of fatty acids and deposits. Then we can also get hormone impairment because a lot of the kidneys do produce some hormones. And then, of course, bone disease could follow. So you see how these things can kind of domino down because the human body is all connected. Now, if you're in your early stages of, let's say, renal disease, your physicians want to control the function through diet. They want to control the amount of protein and phosphorus that you're consuming, as well as your sodium. You're going to monitor all that because your body uses protein to function and also to repair damage. So after it uses protein from your foods that you eat, this waste product is secreted. It's called urea. So they, in your blood system, in your blood work, in your urine work, they're looking for that urea level. So your kidney's job is to remove this waste. But if they're not functioning well, that protein or urea level builds up into the system. And for the same reason, your kidneys may not be able to remove the phosphorus from the blood as well. And that can create a calcium loss and affect your bones. So if the kidneys can't remove the sodium, you're also going to develop a lot of high blood pressure. So the average person may not be concerned because of the physician. You know, he's going, oh, don't worry about it. We're going to manage this. I'm just going to give you a couple of prescriptions. But you know what? In a decade or so, they're going to be on dialysis because that kind of treatment doesn't do anything to fix the cause of the problem, which is lifestyle. All lifestyle. All right. Kidney transplant, remember now, is $263,000. 5-year wait at this point. And now, since I just covered that topic for the first part of the show, the euthanasia new transplant laws, if you do get a transplant, are you going to be wondering, did somebody lose their life unwillingly? I would be thinking that. I would be. So you really need to protect your kidneys. You want them to perform well. And you know what? God has given you herbs to help your kidneys. He has. Because your kidneys are going to filter about a quart of blood each minute. And all the body's blood will pass through the kidneys every 7 minutes, roughly. So they're going to contain between 2 to 4 million filtering mechanisms that are working as that's being done. So your kidneys really can't be sick. They have to do this function all the time. And when they do get sick, you get dirty blood, and it brings about a bunch of disease and then death. The other thing that I've heard, have some direct knowledge on this, if you are on dialysis, they want, if you're, you know, an adult, they want you up to date on all your vaccines. Yeah. So you'll be, I guess, forced to take vaccines if you want dialysis. All right, so some of the herbs that we like to use that God has given us for a kidney function. Now, if your kidneys are weak, you want to avoid juniper berries. Juniper berries have oils, and they're great for cleansing urinary tract and the filters of the kidneys. But if the kidneys are weak, it can irritate them. So until the kidneys become strong again, we kind of stay away from the juniper berry if you have renal failure. If you have a diagnosis of renal failure, you stay away from the juniper berries. Now, for this reason, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have a regular kidney bladder cleanse formula, and they have a juniper-free one. So you may have to be on the juniper-free one, and then later, when you get stronger, you can go to the regular one. So you've got, you know, uvarisi leaf, corn silk, horsetail, pipsqueak leaf, burdock root, golden flower, marshmallow root, which is very soothing to irritated kidneys, as well as ginger root, lobelia. And so you've got a combination of a tea and a tincture, which kind of gives more of a synergistic action and cleanses and helps the kidneys function. So depending on how severe the kidneys are, you may have to, you know, kind of work on it a while. I tell people give it 3 or 4 months when you're using natural therapies if you're trying to reverse a problem. So if you're looking for the Kidney Bladder Cleanse Kit, regular or juniper-free, the folks at Apothecary Herbs will help you out. And you can ask for information or a free catalog by giving them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. If you want to check out the product there, it's under the cleanses, organ cleanses, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. They're the I get asked this all the time. And up on the homepage, there's this big banner now that says, you know, what makes Apothecary Herbs different. And you'll see that their professional strength, their till standard organic, no GMO, they're naturally aged and cold pressed, and they're for professional physicians and you know, so you have access to all that. You don't have to go through practitioners if you don't want to. So that's what's different. It's the processing of the herbs. You know, no heat is one of the key elements. Heat will chemically change herbs and lower their potency. So if you're in the stores and you're shopping and you see all these dropper bottles of herbs, most of those large manufacturers don't do natural aging. They don't cold press. They will do forced extraction, and they make a tincture in one day. But it's not potent. Apothecary Herbs takes a whole month to age and then cold press, and it's a life changer. It's a game changer kind of product. So you'll be amazed, you know, see how powerful you can be when you get the right tool, you know. You know, because if you don't have the right tools, it's like having a kite with no wind. You know, what are you going to do with that? All right, so we're going to talk about a little constipation because we only have a few minutes left. And I would say a majority of people tend to have very sluggish bowels. Most people are brought up based on their doctor's advice and instruction on bowel function. Anybody ever asked their general practitioner, you know, what's normal bowel function? Frank, have you ever asked yours? Hey, doc, what's normal? I know it's been a while since you've been because you don't like doctors, but, well, if you ask them, they'll give you the AMA definition of normal bowel function twice a week. Having a bowel movement twice a week is not considered normal according to medicine, but it's not. You're supposed to have 3 bowel movements a day. If you're eating 3 meals a day, you're supposed to have 3 movements a day. You're not supposed to be, you know, incubating anything in there like a mother hen. You're supposed to be moving things out. All right. American Indians, so we have the American Indians to thank for some of the herbs that they used, the very great herbs for bowel function. They use Cascara Sagrada bark. The Spanish in the 16th century caught on to it, and it was like a godsend. You know, if you had constipation, it did move the bowel and relieve constipation. It was a lot better than what they were using at the time in the 1500s. So Cascara Sagrada has really helped many, many millions of people all over the world. They also had used buckthorn to relieve constipation, which is kind of a cousin to Cascara Sagrada tree. But, you know, God seems to cover our bases with the buckthorn tree. It's indigenous to European regions. Cascara Sagrada is indigenous to North America. So, you know, 2 continents seem to have a similar property type of solution. Now, the physicians of this era, back in the 1500s, you know, how they approached curing patients and purging toxins and using laxatives that they had. Some of those things didn't work so well. They had a lot of cramping and spasming. So when they discovered Cascara Sagrada bark, it was gentler, and they didn't have those discomforts while trying to get rid of their constipation. It was considered a wonder laxative in the New World. That's right. So early medicine in Detroit in 1877, there was a home use publication, medical publication, listing Cascara Sagrada in there. Park Davis Pharmaceutical Firm used the product as well, used the herb, I should say. So they a lot of advertising about Cascara Sagrada, major herb, used in America, using a lot of products, had earned a place in the U.S. pharmacopoeia even. So this is, you know, herbs aren't impotent. They have benefit. So when modern medicine, the pharmaceutical companies try to poo-poo saying, you know, your herbs aren't going to do you any good. Here it is in 1890. You had it listed in your pharmacopoeia. The famous Hoxie facility in Mexico used it in 1930s to 1950s. So what does it do? Well, Cascara Sagrada, herbalists know that it helps the bowel regain muscle tone. So a lot of times our muscle or bowel muscle gets lazy and doesn't want to move stool out fast enough. So it helps regain that muscle tone, tone the muscle, because sluggish bowels are really because the muscle's gotten kind of weak and lazy. So if you're using over-the-counter laxatives, they tend to compromise your bowel muscle's ability to regain its strength, and then you become dependent on the laxatives, so that's not good. The Germans love Cascara Sagrada, include it in a lot of their herbal medicines. Germany Commission, which is kind of similar to our FDA here, they approve the herb for use, love it. U.S. pharmaceutical companies, well, they used it in the beginning. They use it in a lot of products. But if you need it, you're going to find it, you know, pretty much in your herbal products. Now, the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they do include it in their bowel cleanse. So you can check them out at thepowerherbs.com. And, you know, if you want to tone the bowel muscle and get rid of pharmaceutical residues and heavy metal, things you don't want to hang on to, a lot of these herbs can draw out those impurities, tone the bowel muscle, soothe the lining of the colon if it's irritated or inflamed. So you have options there, and the folks at Apothecary Herbs can help you figure that out. And all you have to do is visit their website, thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call. You can get a catalog, flip to the organ cleanse section. First cleanse you'll see is the bowel cleanse, because that's the first one you should do. There's a right way to cleanse the system, working with your body, not against it, so that you can have a smooth transition during your cleansing and do it right, you know, the first time. That's our motto at Apothecary Herbs. So if you got Crohn's disease, irritable bowel syndrome, diverticulitis, inflammatory bowel disease, ulcer, any of this stuff, cleanse and nourish, and it resolves things. There's a long-term benefit. So give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Get their catalog. You'll be glad you did. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Top quality, till standard, non-GMO, organic. The best quality organic you can get. People don't understand what tilth is, but it's land that's been allowed to rest, and there's no chemicals, fertilizers, pesticides, any of that stuff on there. So really great, healthy crops. That's where all the healing begins, in the soil, right? Right. ThePowerHerbs.com is where healthcare options just became endless. I'm out of time, so give them a call, get a catalog, and we're going to buckle down for the Hurricane Florence here. We'll weather through. We'll be back next week. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare before using any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.